Today's Tanya for the 26th of Sivan is in Perek Zayin, Chapter 7 of Shari Yichud Vemuna. It's on page 316, at the bottom of the page. The Alter Rebbe is talking about the mistake that those sages, in their own eyes, made concerning the teaching of the Arizal on the subject of Tzimtzum, in that they took Tzimtzum to mean literally that in some way, not physically obviously, but in some way, the Tzimtzum means that God is not present in the world by himself. He himself is not present. And that he takes care of the world from a distance, his Hashgacha reaches the world, but he himself is not present in the world because the world is too lowly, too finite for his presence. The Rebbe says that this is obviously not acceptable, because to relegate God to a certain place or to a certain level is unacceptable. And secondly, if on the one hand you say that God's knowledge does extend into the world, and as we learned earlier, God and his knowledge are one, you can't separate them. So if his knowledge is here, then he is here. So what sense does it make to say that he knows the world, but he's too high to be involved with the world? If he knows the world, and he knows, unlike the way we know, he knows creation by knowing himself, so his knowledge is himself. So if he knows the world, then he's in the world. If his knowledge is in the world, then he himself is in the world. Rather, the Alter Rebbe says, Tzimtzum does not mean literally. It doesn't mean that God is not present. It means that the awareness of God's presence was condensed or contracted or concealed, so that even where God is present, and he's present everywhere, but even in his presence, the created being is unaware that he's being created, unaware that God is present. Bottom of the page. Zehu gam ken inyan seviv kol almin. And this is the meaning that when we say that God surrounds and encompasses the world, doesn't mean that he's not present within the world. For example, a person is contemplating some subject in his mind. Or he's picturing a physical object. Azai sichlei umachshavtei makifim es hadover ahu hametsuye b'machshavtei b'sichlei. Then we would describe that state or that experience as the mind and the thought of the person surrounding and grasping the object of the thought or the concept. Ach, ein makifim al hadover ahu mamish b'peil mamish. But when we say that the mind surrounds the object, we mean only that the mind surrounds the conceptual object. Obviously, the brain, the mind, does not physically surround the physical object that he's studying. But when we say that the mind grasps it, we mean that the mind grasps the image of it, the mental image of it, but not the thing itself. So that's in the human being. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tchsiv Bei Ki Loi Machshavei Seichem, concerning whom it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So one of the differences between God's thought and our thought is that Machshavtei V'Yediyosei, God's thought and knowledge, Sheyedeya Kol HaNivroyim, his knowledge of all the created beings, Makefes Kol Nivra V'Nivra B'Peil Mamesh, it surrounds and encompasses and grasps the created being in the literal sense, Shaharehihi Chayusei V'Hisavusei Ma'ayin L'Yesh B'Peil Mamesh, because it is this awareness and this knowledge that actually gives life and existence to the physical object, bringing it out of nothingness into existence. So unlike the human being, when the human being grasps a subject, understands a subject in his mind and the object are two separate things, and one doesn't affect the other. What the mind deals with is the mental image of the object. And so in knowing the object, you're not necessarily connected to the object in any real way. Whereas when we say that God knows his creation, we don't mean that he observes it from a distance and has only the mental image or mental picture of the object. When we say that God knows the object, we mean that he's actually giving it life in his knowledge. That is the existence of the object. Its existence is coming from God's attention, from God's thought, from God's awareness, so that the connection between God's knowledge and the object is much stronger, much more real than the connection between a person and the subject he's studying. In the Hayyim Yayim for the 26th of Sivan, the Rebbe writes, V'yedu chayim she'ila. It says by Kedach that they descended alive into the pit. And what does it mean? V'yedu chayim she'gam b'she'il cheshvim she'im chayim. It's a description not only of the event, but also of how it was experienced. Tayda says that they went down alive, meaning that even as they were sinking and being swallowed up, they considered themselves alive. They didn't realize their own condition. Habracha b'v'yedu chayim she'ila, the positive side of the blessing side of descending alive into the pit, k'mei b'nei kairach, which loy mesu, like the sons of Kedach, who didn't die, even though they also descended. Ki tshuva, mokim nizbatzalehem v'asu tshuva, they did tshuva, and a special place was established for them so that they didn't descend further. Ki tshuva me'eles zak kol eit shehu chai. So the positive side of the statement is that they went down alive, that even though they were going down, they remained alive. And tshuva helps as long as there is a little life left. And this is the positive side. That even in their descent, there is life, there should be life, and that life is viyuchu lasis tshuva, enables them to do tshuva. So even in the lowest conditions, there's a certain amount of life that permits and makes possible tshuva.